Couples can very easily get stuck when a husband has a slip-up and acts like things are normal, and then his wife finds out that he searched for something and didn't tell her. This can cause a wife to spiral into distrust, self-protection, anger, and fear all over again, and it has such a big impact on their relationship and their sense of progress together. Her wall goes up, she feels suspicious of anything that he says, can't believe anything that he says. And if this is something that you've experienced, you know that it's very, very discouraging for both people. So what do you do from here? How do you navigate a situation like this? How can a wife know when he's telling the truth? When can she trust him again? That's exactly what I want to cover in today's episode. If you're new to the podcast, my name is Sam Tielemans, and I'm a licensed therapist. And my goal of this podcast is to make sure you're getting the tools and direction and guidance that you need to not only eliminate pornography from your life, to restore the trust that's been damaged in the relationship and help her heal from the pain that all of this has caused. And I truly do want you to get the support and the direction that you need to navigate such a difficult situation. So I want to start off today's episode and share with you a conversation that I had with a client. And he told me that this was his situation, that he had a slip, he looked something up, he felt like, well, I didn't go too far, so I'm just going to keep this to myself. And everything just like everything broke open again. So what happened was, after he had his slip, he went home, pretended like everything was normal. And eventually his wife picked up on the fact that something just felt off. And it's kind of hard to put this into words, but intuition is very, very strong. We can get a sense of whether or not things are okay in a relationship. And we can also get a sense when things are not okay. So for this particular couple, because he had had this slip, he started to feel a little bit more distant. He didn't really want to have direct conversations with her. He wasn't as present. He wasn't as emotionally available. There was not this sense of ease and calm about him that had previously been there, because he had been doing really, really good work. And in the journey of many, many people, there's a progression of things. So whenever I work with somebody, the goal is to really identify where the breakdowns are, understand the underlying causes, and then work through each and every trigger that they have so that they can experience a situation that otherwise would have sent them back into their own personal spiral. Instead, know how to navigate those situations in a totally different way. And so as we go forward, things get uncovered over time. So this particular situation, there was a slip, a trigger that he had not yet addressed, fell back into the old pattern briefly, and then justified not telling her because it wasn't, in his words, that bad. As a result of this, she could feel this sense of unease when she was around him. There was something different. And the reason why that was the case was because there was something off. He was compartmentalizing. He was not revealing this experience, the slip that he had, which left her feeling distant from him. We can tell when something's off. And if you're a wife listening to this, you know what I mean by that. When your intuition just tells you, I don't know what's going on. Because of course, nobody has a crystal ball. We can't read somebody else's mind. There's no way to know everything that happens to somebody. But we can tell when something is off. We can tell if we get the sense that something has happened, even though we might not know exactly the details of it. So eventually, she confronted him. And then he admitted, you know, yes, I did. I was at work. This thing happened. And he shared with her, this is what I wasn't telling you. And in an instant, she put her wall back up and then thought to herself, I can never trust you again. I'll never be able to trust you. We were taking good steps together. We were making progress. I started to open up and bring my wall down, and it felt like we were gaining some traction together. But now, because this situation has happened, my wall is back up and I can't believe anything that you say, because you just pretended like everything was fine. Her biggest concern wasn't the fact that he had a slip, because he was engaged in the process, and he still is, and he's willing to do the work, but the fact that he didn't tell her was where everything shattered for her. Because she recognized the progress that he was making, that he was systematically removing his triggers. working through them in a really productive way. But the fact that he kept this to himself was where everything broke. So what do you do from here? The difficulty is that there's no magic bullet solution, right? There's no quick fix to this. This is what's so hard. And I think for so many men that I work with, they recognize that when this happens, there's nothing that they can say or do that will make her believe him again. And the fact that this type of situation occurs for most people, a woman is always waiting for the other shoe to drop. This particular woman described to me that when things were going well is when she felt uneasy, because this was the pattern. He'd do well for a bit, slip up would happen, and then he wouldn't tell her, which continually left her in a state of hypervigilance, and she felt like she was paranoid and hated that feeling because she didn't want to always have to be wondering, okay, well, is today the day he's going to tell me that something else happened? Is today the day that I'm going to find this out? Because their pattern was such that he really almost never initiated the conversation when there was a slip-up. She had to be the one to find it out just about every single time. And so if you're listening to this as a husband, I can't emphasize enough how significant of an impact it has in a negative way when she has to find everything out. So many women that I work with can work, they'll tell me, I can work with slips. I can work if he messes up. I can work with him. If he's open, he's trying. I don't love it, but I can work with that. The thing that I cannot work with is dishonesty. And if I'm always the one who has to find it, that puts me into this role of being a detective, and I don't want to be that. I want to have a solid relationship with my spouse who I love, and if I have to be a detective and monitor, it erodes the love and the care and the connection that I have with him, and I don't want that to happen. And so, again, the opposite of that is also true. If there is a slip-up and you make a mistake, the best thing that you could possibly do is to let your wife in on that. Share with her as you're going along in this process. Share with her consistently, continually, being transparent. It's one of the most effective things. It's such a simple, it's like, it's such a simple step. It can feel very daunting to a husband when there have been mistakes that have been made, when he knows that it's going to hurt her. I'm talking about it as if it's this like, oh yeah, just go and tell her, it's no problem. I get it. There's a degree of fear and shame that goes with that. I totally understand that. But I just can't emphasize enough how big of a deal in a positive way it will be by just letting her in. Because you can build trust with your spouse even if there's been a slip, because there's different aspects of trust. One of the aspects of trust is that she's going to feel very, very confident and can trust you when there's a slip, that if you go to her and tell her, she can have trust in you that you will be transparent. That is huge. It's so important to have that. And so, well, what do you do if you're on this path and you're still learning and you're trying to navigate this and there are these blocks to sharing and there's fears and concerns? Again, I totally understand that. A big part of the work is actually working through all of that and removing those blocks. And in previous episodes, I've shared with you lots and lots of ways to have different conversations together and work through fears. But for this episode, I really want to highlight, though there's no magic bullet, there are two specific things that you can do from here. If you've been wanting to overcome pornography for a long time, but you've struggled because you haven't had a customized game plan for your specific situation, then I'd love to help. I take on a few new clients every month, and I work with them in a 12-week process to resolve the underlying issues that have led to their behavior. So by the end of the 12 weeks, you can be in a completely different place, feeling free and confident. And I give everybody that I work with a guarantee that if you don't completely overcome your struggle with pornography in those 12 weeks, then I'll work with you for free until you do. I'm with you to the end, and you have nothing to lose. So if this sounds interesting to you and you want to be done with this problem in the next 12 weeks, then go to the website stopporn.info and you can get some more information there. All right, back to the show. This particular husband acknowledged, you know, there's nothing I can do. No matter what I say, she's not going to believe me. And just acknowledging that to her directly can be a really good first step. Because sometimes what happens is men who have this slip happen will try to convince his wife, hey, this was just this oddball thing. I've been doing really, really well. This isn't going to happen again. I'm going to make sure that it doesn't happen again. She can't hear that. She can't believe that. So if you simply just acknowledge that and help her feel validated in her fear that her wall is justified, that can be a really good first step. So what do you do? There's two things that you can do. Number one, I think it's really, really important for a woman, for a wife to understand that you can trust your intuition. Is it perfect? No. Are there things that are going to happen that you're going to miss? Yes. However, the majority, the vast majority of times, you can sense when something is off. You might not know exactly what or all of the details, but the fact is, we can tell when something doesn't quite sit right. The key is also to remember that we can also tell when things do feel okay. When things feel generally like he's present. Because the difference, the thing that tipped her off, this particular client that I was working with, the thing that tipped her off was the fact that he was more withdrawn. He was more avoidant. He was more distant. He was more compartmentalized. Those are the flags that indicate something's off. Now, whether that indicates a slip-up or something else, again, we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know always. But you can trust yourself to notice those signs. Will you catch them every single time? No. But that's, I think, the value of doing the work, is because this particular couple had been doing really good work and they will continue to do good work. She could tell when something was on because they had fostered that between one another. So if you can't tell at all and you really have no idea, then I think the first step for you is to foster that. It's to foster the connection, because when you have it, you can then tell when you don't. So that was a quick sidebar, just as a wife listening to this, because I know it can feel completely overwhelming to think, well, there's no way I'll ever be able to trust him again. I have no idea when it's safe. I'm so tired. I can't keep getting hurt. I'm going to go behind the wall and just be over here by myself, which is not how it's supposed to be. She doesn't want that. Nobody wants to live in a marriage being walled off from the other person. Therefore, the transparency is so, so critical. So that was the first thing that I wanted to share, is as a sidebar, you can know and get a sense when something is on and off, especially if you've cultivated that. So what are the two steps to take? Number one, a husband, as he's doing his work, it's the way I describe this is it's a spiral upward. This journey for a lot of people has bumps along the way, and it's a spiral upward where you're going through difficult circumstances, difficult situations, but the goal is that you learn from them. And so when I'm working with a man and we're working through his triggers, what I'm trying to do as I work with him is help him get clear about what specifically those triggers are, what led to the slip. Because if a husband were to just think to himself, oh, I slipped up, I shouldn't do that, okay, I'm going to recommit. I'm going to tell my wife I'm not going to do it anymore, I'm going to apologize and just really knuckle down this time, that's not a winning solution. The winning solution is when you can identify the triggers, identify what led to it specifically, and then you take actions and put countermeasures in place to resolve it. So let me give you an example of this. So let's say one of your biggest triggers is a feeling of inadequacy. And whenever you get this sense of inadequacy, you turn to pornography as a way to cope with that and to deal with the pain of that, because that's carrying a sense of low self-worth is heavy. And in that really heavy emotional state, most people want to get out of that. And so if the habit or pattern has been that you turn to pornography to manage those feelings, that's really important insight for you to know, because then once you recognize, okay, this is why I turn to it. This is what leads to it. When I have a difficult day at work, then I just start to feel bad about myself. If I make mistakes, if I fall short in some area, if I fail, if I don't hit my goals, I just start to feel like I'm not good enough. And in that heaviness, that's when I turn to it. That's my trigger. That's one of them. So if somebody were to tell me that, and that's one of the very common ones for a lot of guys, the key is then to, once you've identified that, to find closure and resolve that. So how do you do that? It depends on what the trigger is. In this particular case, it's the opposite. Typically, whatever trigger, if you're lonely, the opposite is connection. If you're stressed because you feel like you're not good enough, then the opposite or the countermeasure to that is developing self-worth. It's untangling your identity from your actions. It's feeling like it's okay to make mistakes and be a regular person because you've worked through perfectionistic tendencies. So often people carry this idea that if I make mistakes, if I don't hit my goals, if I fail, then I'm not enough. That's a surefire recipe to feel discouraged and depressed and down. So the antidote is to unwind your identity from your actions. So I'm just sharing with you a couple of examples to get your mind thinking in this direction. But the idea is the framework: identify specifically what the trigger is, take a step or put countermeasures in place to resolve the trigger so that then you can move forward with closure. So the resolution is, okay, if I'm lonely, then I'm developing relationships where I can connect. I work through my fears about being vulnerable. If I feel like I'm not a good enough person, I'm doing that self-worth work so that when I fail again at work, I don't take it personally anymore. I can just recognize it as, okay, this is an area for me to improve. I need to develop this skill so that I can, instead of making that mistake again, I've got a new skill set so I can make a different decision, so I can implement or execute in a different way. So whatever the trigger is, we want a countermeasure in a place to resolve it. And then the key to rebuilding trust is to include her in on the process. Tell her why you did it. Tell her what led to it. And then tell her what you're going to do to resolve it, and then demonstrate that, follow through with that, so she doesn't have to believe you. She doesn't have to believe your words. She can see it. She'll be able to feel it. Because when you're doing your work and you're resolving underlying issues and you're being present and you're connecting with her and being transparent, she will feel that just in the same way that she feels it when it's not there. So that's step number one. Step number two, it's so key to validate her fears and feelings, and do not apply any pressure for her to bring down her wall. This is going back to what I said earlier. The husband had said to his wife, there's nothing that I can do or say, and I'm sorry that we're here, and I genuinely feel this remorse, and I'm going to recommit to improve this area of my life. And when you do that, when you can acknowledge that it's okay for her to be guarded, there might be a breakdown in your connection for a little bit, whether it's emotional or physical or spiritual or otherwise, there's going to be distance there because she's protecting herself. So when you can validate and acknowledge that she's there and it's okay and she has every right to be there, and that you're going to do your work and make sure that you demonstrate and show her that you're different instead of just telling her, then you guys can return to a more connected, open place, which then she will feel. There's no amount of convincing or explaining or coercing that will help her comfortably bring her wall down. It just needs to be acknowledged that it's going to take some time, especially if this has happened multiple times. It takes longer and longer, typically, each time it happens. So this is where I think it's so valuable to have this personal commitment of, I'm not going to hide this anymore. I'm going to be transparent. I'm going to be forthcoming. Because again, knowing that most women, they can work with transparency, they can work with honesty, and then using this framework of identifying what led to this, what you need to put in place, and then including her so you can demonstrate the changes, this is going to be your best bet and moving forward. I feel for you guys who are in this particular situation right now. I know this is not easy, but this is my best bit of encouragement to give you, is to focus on these elements that we've discussed today. So my encouragement right now this week is if you're here currently to have this talk with your spouse, go to them and share where you are. If you're a wife listening to this, share with your husband. This is where I feel stuck. I can't believe anything. I can't trust anything. So this is what I need. I need to know why this happens. I need to see you taking action. And maybe your husband needs a higher level of support. If he's continuing to struggle, then in some cases, in many cases, it's not a lack of information. It's a lack of implementation. And whenever there is a lack of implementation, there's typically blocks. And we can't see our own blind spots. And so maybe it's just a higher level of support. And so if you need that, of course, it's available. But this is my goal, this is my encouragement for you guys today, is to have this conversation, whether you're a wife or a husband, to acknowledge where you are, validate where you are, and then take the steps to resolving these underlying issues so you can move forward confidently with closure and truly leave the past behind you with it being resolved. So you can both move forward feeling much more at peace and connected with one another as you're walking down this journey.